It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Ronan Berry. Coming up between now and 8 o'clock this evening, I'll have a roundup of all the events taking place as part of National Enterprise Week 2024. We'll hear from Katrina Duffy from Westmeath Enterprise Office about what's taking place the rest of their week too, and big week of course for our Leos right across the country and no more so than here in the Midlands. Also, you'll find out how the Technological University of Shannon and OMA-based Loctech Cybersecurity have partnered up to the Intertrade Ireland Innovation Boost Programme, what the benefits were for all parties involved there, and indeed how you can unlock similar potential sources of funding and indeed opportunities for developing your business. A little bit later too, we're going to be joined by the brand new CEO of Leash Chamber Alliance. It's Jackie Carroll. She's been a regular contributor to the show over the past couple of years, a Leash native with vast experience in business from London right back to Ireland, and indeed worked with some big names and businesses, and was a very much part of the driving the Leash tourism strategy for 3 years as part of a contract her and her company had won. So ideally placed to lead the chamber, and we're going to hear all about their ambitious plans and indeed find out what connects County Leash and Franklin in Tennessee. And here's a hint, it's not country music. If you want to join the conversation this evening, you can do so. As always, the quickest and easiest way to get me is by text and WhatsApp, the number 083 3010 103. If you've got something else you'd like to get in touch with on a wider basis, business@midlands103.com is the email. Now, I mentioned there that it is Enterprise Week. My first guest this evening, I actually first met him. He was part of a panel discussion that I facilitated for an event for Westmeath Enterprise Office back a couple of years ago. I'm presuming it was pre-COVID anyway. His name is Richard Marles and he's the founder of Park Life, and they make highly nutritious dog treats. At Park Life, according to their website, he said, "We provide ourselves on making great tasting, guilt-free treats with more benefits than you can shake a stick at." Now, it goes a lot further than there. The company only emerged from an idea in around 2018 and started off because him and his partner were cooking treats for their own dog at home. Now, as I've often asked people in this programme, how can you go from having an idea, doing your own prototyping, to turn it into a business? And what a business Richard has turned this into. It's already realising revenues of over €1 million a year. They'll be exhibiting at Crufts this season again. And also, they've recently signed a deal with Disney for a European licence to make dog and cat treats with a Disney branding. Now, that shows you just exactly where the company is. And really interestingly, Richard appeared on the UK Dragon's Den just last Thursday and created another little bit of history. We'll get back to that now in just a few minutes. But a very good evening, Richard.
Good evening, Ronan. Thanks for the great introduction.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind for you since things started out.
It certainly has. I don't know where to start. I suppose last week was a big milestone, appearing on BBC Dragon's Den. As you mentioned, the journey for us started in 2018 when I became pet parent to Penny, our beautiful golden lab. And then my wife and I went away for the weekend and for the first time left her with my mother-in-law. Turned after the weekend away, Penny looked all bloated and swollen, and I asked my mother-in-law what we were feeding her, and she presented a box of Leading brand biscuits. I looked on the packaging, saw they were absolutely just full of junk, animal derivatives. So, like, if there are any pet parents out there listening, like, nobody should really be feeding wheat or cereals to their dogs, and to see that in kind of the mainstream number one Leading brand product. I decided to go out there to the pet shops and find something better to feed Penny. And all I found were kind of either really expensive or really boring treats, or the really cheap, full of rubbish treats. So I thought there's a huge opportunity here for something in that middle space that's beautiful, but offers all the nutritional and health benefits of those more expensive treats. So that's when my wife and I started baking them at home for Penny. And it kind of, that inspired the idea of maybe we could make a business out of this. And then one day when we were in the park with Penny, Penny's notoriously terrible at retrieving a tennis ball. You throw a tennis ball, it takes about half an hour to get it back. So we started throwing treats for her. She would run, she'd sniff around, and then she'd come back for the next treat. And that's when the idea of, well, why shouldn't somebody have a biscuit that's shaped like a Frisbee? And that's where our product Frisbix came from. which is the first product we decided on.
And that that in itself sounds a little bit crazy, you know, a dog treat, a healthy dog treat that you can actually throw to, but you've made it work.
Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't realise at the time, but enrichment treats are a really kind of booming topic. People are looking for ways to entertain their dog, to stop them from getting anxiety. And also, like, 15 minutes of sniff work in the garden is the equivalent of walk. So by firing frisbees around the garden and letting your dog do their own little sniffari, it's actually the equivalent of taking them for a walk.
That's really interesting, and within the confines of your own garden, I suppose, and probably given how packed people's schedules are, something that's very easily achievable too. But then when it came to actually researching the product then and looking at the ingredients you wanted to source and to use to create these treats, how was that process? Did it take long, and how did you settle on the kind of final products?
So a lot of that was kind of desk research, looking online about, you know, what other products are using here in the States, Australia. And then started looking at what ingredients we could find within kind of the health food stores to kind of create that kind of bake at home recipe. When we found like a recipe that we really loved, that the dogs loved, that was really wholesome, that's when I decided to do bakeries to try and find somebody who could make that. Now, we searched high and low within Ireland, and we couldn't find anybody that would able to bake a biscuit. There are no dog biscuit baking facilities in Ireland yet. You know, hopefully that's a longer term plan. But in the short term, we work with bakeries around Europe who are best placed to take the recipe that we had and take their know-how of the pet industry and bridge the two. So we managed to find a bakery that is a human-grade facility. So everything that we do is good enough for humans. In fact, my three-year-old son, who just turned four, my four-year-old son, Matthew, he eats them. So, you know, anybody out there that's got human children and fur babies in the house will know, as soon as you give your human child a biscuit to give to the dogs, the first thing they do is put in their own mouth. So if they're going to do that, you know.
Yeah, I think I saw an Instagram video on your
Parklife treat.
Yeah, I think I saw a video on your Parklife Instagram, I think yesterday, of yourself eating some of, because you've created a treat as well, kind of Easter themed, have you?
Yeah, I mean, so the first kind of products that we launched that were, you know, it was outside of Frisbix was Chilbix, and that's actually still our main product. It's a calming biscuit with honey and chamomile. And that was a kind of a light bulb moment, actually. Well, biscuits and treats with functional benefits are going to be really popular. So we've made sure that every treat that we launch from then on is, I suppose, talks to a unique usage. So we've got Frisbix, which is for enrichment. We've got Chilbix, which is for calming. The new Easterbix, which is a seasonal product. It's the first ever chocolate egg, dog-friendly chocolate egg dog biscuit, shaped like a mini egg with a crack down the middle so you can break it in half depending on the size of the dog. And that just launched nationwide in or across the UK.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that treat in itself is healthier than a traditional Easter egg, given, you know, we kind of get an indication of what goes into some of those, unfortunately. But when you're speaking there about having bakeries across in Europe as well that can supply the product for you, you're obviously a huge part of the likes of your deal that you've signed with Disney in getting the European license to make dog and cat treats. I mean, that's a huge achievement for a company of your size. What kind of implications does that have in terms of, say, even volume and production? Like, and do you have to scale up then in order to meet that contract?
That is one of the best of the business model that we've developed, and one of the reasons for going on Dragon's Den. Essentially, the biggest barrier to growth for a business like mine is working capital. So you land a big deal with Disney and you land a big deal with a big retailer. The retailers don't want to pay you for 60 to 90 days. You've still got to buy all the raw materials, you've still got to buy the packaging, you've still got to pay the bakery, and then you've got to bring and getting paid yourself.
Yeah.
But essentially, I've made sure we've partnered with material suppliers and bakeries that have capacity, so we can scale up lightning fast when those big orders come in.
I can only imagine, I suppose none of us can probably imagine, bar a few of you, what it's actually like to walk out through those sliding doors in front of the Dragons, especially in the UK one as well. You've people like Peter Jones and Deborah Meaden, who people are probably very, very familiar with. But to walk out there knowing that you have a contract or a license from Disney to make a product, it must be a huge attraction. You look for £150,000 sterling for a 5% stake in your business. How do things go?
that particular things went really well at the start. So Penny, my dog, was in the den with me. She was great at breaking the ice. Halfway through the pitch, she kind of chilled out on the ground, and Peter Jones made the comment saying that she's the most relaxed contestant they've ever had, which made Deborah Meaden give me an amazing plug to say that must be the Chilbic. So to have that said nationwide in the UK was fantastic for our best-selling product. And then after the pitch, you know, it went really well, and then was the onslaught. So I think what a lot of people don't realise is that you're actually in the den for around an hour and a half getting absolutely grilled for that kind of short kind of 5 to 10 minute segment that they show on TV. And a lot of that was really drilling into the detail and grilling me about the valuation. So Peter Jones, I think, is probably the most hot with the numbers, and he probably grilled me for a good half an hour on the valuation. But thankfully, I was able to win him over by proving the business and the numbers side out. And that's when kind of I managed to turn the dragon, so that Peter Jones went from being kind of my number one enemy in the den to the first person to make me an offer. And then Tuukka Sulaman kind of quickly followed with a joint offer.
And Peter offered the full £150,000, didn't he? But he wanted was it a 30% stake in your business?
Yeah, he wanted 30%, which is cheeky. It's a lot of money. To be honest, I went in there expecting to give away more than five. I thought there's some wiggle room in there for negotiation. But there was just too big a gap between, you know, you're never going to a casino without a budget, you know, but you shouldn't. Anyway, so I went in there knowing exactly, even when I was under pressure, what was the maximum that I was willing to give away. And 30% was way beyond that. So I thought, even if I try and haggle, I'm just going to look silly, because I'm going to haggle. I'm not going to get what I want. You know, they're not going to be happy with what I'm willing to give away. And then we'll still end up parting ways. So I just thought, I might as well just say no from the offset. So then I went to the back of the room, had a think, and then I literally came back to the table. I wanted it to be a bit like Love Island, you know, where you don't know whether they're going to say yes. And then at the end, I was going to say something like, for that reason, I'd like to respectfully decline your offer. But literally, when you're in the den, like, I was literally looking at the dragons, but the words that just came out were, and for that reason, I'm out.
So you met them with their own catchphrase as well. And I think Peter Jones in particular was slightly stunned, I think, was he?
Yeah, Peter Jones was stunned that the rest were just absolutely wetting themselves. Like Stephen Bartlett would like had his knees rolled into his stomach, just laughing. And I think that they were all just shocked that anyone would say that. But it wasn't until I came out of the den and I was interviewed afterwards that they said, did you realise that you had that in the den? Which I wasn't aware when I said it.
Quickly
afterwards.
Yeah, I would have assumed there was many others as well. But no, it goes to show you, and I suppose the lesson in it really is, you know, if you believe in your business and you have a valuation on it, you got to stick with that and you shouldn't compromise, because I can only imagine it's probably in a very easy environment to kind of cave and say, yes, I'll take it. But there's kind of no going back really once you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides of it. One is, you know, when you go to the end, you really do sign every document going to say you've got to stand over what you agree to. But things often fall through after, you know, you've agreed something. That's the thing I wanted to do on national television, was to say yes to a deal like that, and then it fall through. But then everybody thinks that's what I'm willing to accept. Like since then, off the strength of my I'm out, I've had so many potential investors getting in touch with me, say, you know, we'd be interested in investing. You're like, you know, looking at the value of the business. So yeah, it's not the end of the investment journey for Parklife.
Yeah, I suppose what people might know is you have a deep history in marketing as well. I think it was a Kyo's Crisp, so I mean, there's no such thing as bad marketing, so no better person to kind of capitalise on it and turn it around. But Richard, it's an absolutely amazing story. Well done on Dragon's Den, creating your own little bit of history, and undoubtedly the star of Parklife is going to rise further and further. If people want to check out more, parklife.dog is the website, and you can find out all about Richard and Penny and everybody else involved. But Richard, for now, thank you so much, and look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you very much. Can I just say one quick last?
Go for it,
Huge thank you to Westmeath Local Enterprise Office and Enterprise Ireland. I know you were saying it's Enterprise Week. I wouldn't have even made it to the game without all the support that I've got from Westmeath Local Enterprise Office through grant support, advice. So I would highly recommend anyone get in touch with their local enterprise office. So thank you to those guys.
Well said as well, and well done, Richard, too. And of course, again, this week is Enterprise Week, and they're showcasing the great work that our Leos do across the country. And who knows, where's the next Park Life or similar company coming from? And Richard just shows what can be achieved when you've got a vision, you've got a great product, and you know how to get it out there and get it out onto market as well and develop what he's done. And, you know, signing a deal with Disney for a European license, major stuff happening. He'll be at Crufts this year, too. Lots more to come on that one. Time for a quick break. After that, I'm going to meet the brand new CEO of Laois Chamber Alliance.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Still to come this evening, find out how the Technological University of Shannon and OMA-based Loctech Cybersecurity have partnered up to the InterTrade Ireland Innovation Boost Programme. You remember about 2-3 years ago, Midland Steel Reinforcement had partnered up with Queen's University Belfast through a similar innovation boosting as well. That brought huge dividends and allowed for Midland Steel to really push ahead with its digitalisation and robotics journey. So again, great things can happen. So really looking forward to finding out how these companies and institutions are partnering again to deliver growth and develop their strategies too. Also, we'll have a roundup of the events taking place for the rest of the week as part of Local Enterprise Week 2024. But before that, I want to introduce you to somebody who's been on the show once or twice before, actually, initially as part of the Laois tourism strategy a couple of years ago, because through a company she was involved with, they had been the kind of main pioneers of that strategy. And she was also back then a couple of years ago with Ballantubert House and Gardens. And she's now the newly appointed CEO of Laois Chamber Alliance. It's Jackie Carroll. Jackie, you're very welcome back to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you, Ronan.
You're wearing a very different hat this time, but if anybody takes a quick look through your back catalogue and CV as well, you've worked from some large companies. You've even worked with Dennis O'Brien at one stage. You had some of your career in London. You're bringing a lot of experience to this as well. So when the role came up and you applied for it, was it one that you felt was something that really fitted with your own career direction?
Yeah, very much so. I really saw an opportunity for Laois to look at its economic development to attract new businesses in. And I had worked with Bernie Everard, the previous CEO, on a piece of work called Invest in Laois. And it had sparked an interest in me in becoming more involved.
So, and again, I know great work had been done by Bernie, then Caroline Hoffman took the role as well. So, I mean, I was actually privileged to be at the original launch of Laois Chamber, and there was huge excitement when, you know, it was back on the agenda. It became a great thing. There was great support from the likes of the county councils and the business development unit and stuff like that. You're getting the chance to continue that, to take that torch as well. What's coming up? I'm sure lots of things happening across the county.
Yeah, I am very lucky that Caroline and Bernie have developed such a strong chamber. Moving forward, we want to make it even stronger. We want to make it more as a community that we're building businesses together in Laois. It will still be the networking organisation that it is. It will still be the lobbying organisation. But what we want to do is, moving forward with the President, James McElwee, is to bring a business council together of about 20 businesses, and for us to sit down and brainstorm and think through what exactly the chamber should look like and what supports the businesses really want.
And that gives you a chance as well to look at that wide cross-section of businesses and enterprises throughout the county.
Yeah.
Now, I asked listeners earlier in the show, I said, do they know what connects Laois with Franklin in Tennessee? And I said, it's not country music, but you can tell us what that connection is.
Yeah, Laois County Council have a twinning project with Franklin in Tennessee. And through that programme, there have been musical exchanges, but also from when I've started and in the past with Caroline, kind of business exchange ideas. And Franklin are actually one of the wealthiest counties in Tennessee. They have a very different base to Laois, but they have been very forthcoming in what's worked for them. And actually, the business council came from an idea of working with them, and they've been a fantastic support.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what other kind of jurisdictions have done and bring it to place. So you're actually having a public meeting on this coming up very shortly.
Yeah. We are having a wine and nibbles evening in the Midlands Park Hotel on the 15th of March at 5:30, just to kickstart the long weekend, but also really to have members and non-members, people who have an interest in business in Laois, to come together and chat about how we can move the chamber forward. And actually, I'm going to be in the hot seat for once, and I'm going to show the plans for the chamber in the next year.
You were appointed only back in January, so yeah, undoubtedly probably lots of engagement with businesses already.
Yeah.
What are you seeing jumping out already as being the key things that people are kind of willing to see a bit of action taken on?
Yeah, I think from the businesses I've met so far, it really, people want to see more engagement with the Chamber just in general. They want to see more networking events, but they also want to see issues such as housing, skills. A suggestion has been that we build a community around people who leave the county every day, and we try to integrate them more into the community. And through that way, we deliver maybe new startups to people who look at each other every morning on the train, might, you know, talk to each other and figure out that they want to start a business in Laois. Also, the age-old IDA attraction to Laois is firmly on the agenda, and with the support of Chambers Ireland, I actually think we can make some inroads there.
Yeah, because I think over the past couple of years, Laois County Council had purchased significant tracts of land kind of along the M7 as well. So from a site and land perspective, the land is there. Do you know what's happening at present in terms of trying to attract people in? Because it seems to be that kind of, dare I say, it's kind of that secret sauce so that nobody knows what other regions have, but they seem to be doing it. Now, in saying that, the IDA figures for regional job growth and regional investments are increasing year on year, and more investments are happening outside of the Dublin region. How is Laois going to try and capitalise on that, do you think?
I think what we really need is a dedicated resource, somebody who's trustworthy, who builds a relationship with the IDA on an ongoing basis, somebody who dedicates their time to it. And whether that's through Laois Chamber or through Laois County Council, I think that's where the resource needs to lie, and it needs to be 100% dedicated to it.
It'd be very interesting
only
to see as well
way.
What the feedback from those 20 or so businesses will be coming up as well. For people who want to try and follow the Chamber or indeed look at joining and get involved as well, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They're email me at jackie@laoischamber.ie. There's a join us on the website where if they don't want to talk to me, they can go directly there. They can come to the event and I'll chat through with them. We're also we're recruiting for a tourism executive for the office as well. As you know, Laois Chamber is part Laois Tourism, and 40% of our members are in the hospitality area. So we're going to have a dedicated resource to look after them going forward.
Type of role, it's a tourism executive, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What type of people, what type of person are you looking for that?
I'm looking for someone really personable who can handhold the businesses in their development, who can research funding, who can help them through that, who can develop relationships and start collaborations between the different providers, because that's how we grow as a county. And not just to have tourism off to the side either, that, you know, a hospitality business can talk to an IT business. You know, you don't know what can happen there.
Yeah, if the IDA, the number of IDA investments were to increase, which would be a huge task in some ways, if you want to put it in one way, like the likes of the tourism, the hospitality benefit from that too. There is a tourism activator, isn't there, for County Laois for giving them access to Just Transition Fund. And
yeah,
I spoke to Kieran Mullooly this morning actually on Midlands Today, and he's the activator for Longford. And as he describes it, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for anybody in the sector.
Absolutely. There, Regina Dunn, who is the former tourism development officer within Laois Chamber Alliance, she is now the tourism activator, and she will guide you and help you to understand the application process. She's an excellent resource for Laois. She knows everybody. There's 17 million in the pot. We will never see this opportunity again. And if you want to develop a business based around slow tourism, about ecotourism, about regenerative, contact Regina. She's the lady who knows exactly what's in the programme and how to apply.
And absolutely. And you're the person to contact when it comes to all matters Laois Chamber. Jackie, congrats on the new role. Undoubtedly, we'll cross paths many times over the next couple of years. Very much looking forward to that. And as anything we can do here to support you in the role, we certainly will do that too. So thank you for coming over this evening, and talk to you again soon. That's Jackie Carroll there, the new CEO of Laois Chamber. When we speak about the Midlands region, about attracting investment, and that last week on the show, I spoke to Anne Cusick, the chair of the Midlands Regional Enterprise Plan, and the region has been identified as a region of importance in the latest Financial Times report. And the reason Anne gave for that, she said, was because of increased collaboration between enterprises, between industry, between our universities, and between all the various clusters and supporting bodies around the Midlands. Well, after the break, you're going to meet some people who, through the Innovation Boost Programme at Enterprise Ireland and the university, have come together as well in order to help develop a business. And find out how that is happening just after this quick break.
Taking care of business, with thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Just before the break there, I mentioned how Dr. Anne Cusick, the chair of the Midlands Regional Enterprise Plan, mentioned the show last week, how collaboration between universities, between industry clusters and various other educational institutes had really led to the Midlands sticking its hand up and becoming a region of influence. And a few years back on the show, I spoke to Tony Woods from Midlands Steel about how he had availed of the Innovation Boost Programme through Intertrade Ireland and, you know, worked with Queen's University in terms of their digitalisation and developing out their reinforced steel solutions. Well, that level of collaboration continues. So I'm delighted to introduce to you now Sean McDermott. Sean is the CEO of Loctech. They're a cybersecurity company based in Omagh, and also to Dr. Enda Fallon, Head of Department of Computer and Software Engineering at the Technological University of the Shannon and the Midlands campus, so based in Athlone. A very good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Sean, thank you for coming down this evening as well. Give us a quick overview of Loctech Security and what you do.
So we're a cybersecurity company. We defend local businesses all over the island of Ireland and all across Europe. We've been in business for 17 years. My background was in the beef industry, so it was a natural progression to IT. And we set up originally as a managed service provider, and we've transformed into a cybersecurity company.
So again, I suppose with a company, would it be foolish to say that automatically things like digital transformation was something you were already looking at? Or is that something, even though you're dealing with things like cybersecurity, is that something that comes onto your agenda?
So I think a lot of people would probably expect us to have the best systems in the world in place. And we get very busy with trying to run the business day to day. But when we got involved with Intertrade Ireland and TUS, they really helped us clarify our vision on what we need to achieve on our digital transformation journey we've been through over the last 24 months.
When you suppose, why the Innovation Boost Programme, how did that first come sort of within your line of sight, and what was it about it that kind of propelled you to go and look further at it?
I suppose we've worked with Intertrade Ireland on a number of occasions, and we've always found them to be have very simplistic, straightforward processes that were able to help our business, help us build the team. And this was, I suppose, a very timely intervention by them for us. And we've made massive changes to the business in the last 2 years. Small example, 70% plus of all the invoices we produce now each month are automated. There's no human involved. And that's a massive overhead removed for ourselves.
Does it take the emotion out of it, do you think?
Oh, not all the time.
That can often be. I remember certainly I worked in a previous lifetime in kind of construction and quarrying, and there was way too much emotion when it came to invoicing. But I suppose, Enda, from your perspective as head of the Department of Computer and Software Engineering, this is the type of project really that, for having a TU within the Midlands, it provides a great opportunity to collaborate with companies like Sean's.
Absolutely. I mean, Sean is speaking to our final year students tomorrow, and it's really those practical examples. You know, a really cutting edge company in the cybersecurity space. Sean and his team have been very supportive for us, you know, allocating us projects that the students can work on and making that link true. I suppose, Ronan, really with the Intertrade Ireland programmes, I've been working on this almost 20 years now at this stage. And what, you know, traditionally what you would have seen was a huge linkage maybe between Dublin and Belfast and probably up the West Coast. Donegal obviously would have a very close link into Derry as well. What we're now seeing is linkage between the Midlands and, you know, the Midlands in the north as well, straight up through and into areas like Omagh. So huge opportunity that's there. And, it's great to partner with a company such as Loctech.
For yourself, Sean, how did TUSTEN come onto your radar as well? Were you always familiar with what the work they were doing, or was it through Intertrade Ireland that the introductions were made?
It was really through Intertrade Ireland. Now, we have worked with a number of the IT colleges when there were IT colleges, but it was through Intertrade Ireland that the introduction and the relationship was built upon.
Fantastic as well, and just end it. Kind of, it is opening up new regions again. All the benefits of having a TU on our doorstep as well down here in the Midlands too is a type of program. And I'm going to bring Niall O'Sumacon from Interfaith Ireland in now very shortly in this as well. But Enda, you've vast experience in it too. Is it a program that's open to majority of companies as well, and beginning to sound almost like an opportunity being overlooked by many Midlands companies?
Yeah, I mean, as Sean said, you know, there's a very practical approach taken with Interfaith Ireland on it. You know, the programme itself has been hugely successful. So it's interesting you were saying that Midland Steel were partnering with Queen's in Belfast. You see, we're on the other side. So we're the academic institution partnering with the company, north-south. So locally, I in the north, I would have worked with Niall, you know, really probably over 15 years now at this stage. And locally, Leona Kinahan, based in Moat, would do a huge amount of work as the Intertrade Ireland consultant in the area. Listen, it does what it says in the tin. It really links academic institutions with, you know, with companies with regard to, you know, technology transfer, and it's been hugely successful.
And it must be a game changer for students to be able to engage in projects that are for a real life organization, a living, breathing organization, and not just maybe hypothetical case studies.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, because we've been working at this so long, the graduates that are employed by the companies are looked after so well. You know, there's a postgraduate diploma that's offered by Queen's in management as well. So it's fine having the technical skills, but what you want is the communication and business knowledge as well. And what we're finding now, and Niall will have seen this, is these graduates are now senior managers within the companies that they're working in as well. And I'm sure it'll be the same.
Yeah, I think similar actually happened with Midland Steel. I think the student in Queen's, I think, ultimately ended up joining the staff as well. So this started, was it 24 months ago, you said, Sean?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. What have been the main kind of outcomes from it from your own perspective with LockTech?
So we try in the business to ingrain a mindset of permanent reinvention. So we're always trying to improve a little bit every day to make tomorrow a little bit easier. And all the work we've done along with Intertrade Ireland and TUS has really helped us to get through and to forge ahead and to plan for the future. We've had a difficult couple of months because we had a couple of key people out of the team. And because of all the automation we've done, we sailed through it.
So what were the kind of standout moments for you? Like, what was the bit when you mentioned even invoicing? Was there any other parts where you kind of went like...
So I lost two really important people on the team in the month of February, and was concerned and was able to sit down and log into our cloud accountancy platform and our help desk system and see that where we were for the next 6 months at the touch of a button. And 24 months ago, I couldn't have done that. And that was a great relief.
But in terms of scaling a business, it sounds like a major barrier to overcome as well. And maybe often, if you're not aware of it, it's even harder to overcome it. But hopefully, if phone lines are doing what they're supposed to do, I should be joined by Niall O'Sumacon too from Interfaith Ireland. Are you there, Niall? Do I have you, Niall? No, I seem to be having a little bit of a technical issue with that line there. I need to try to get Niall as well. And again, we spoke about that. There being a missed opportunity as well. You must have seen some great examples over the years of, you know, companies really discovering something, unearthing maybe a little gem that maybe without might have actually hindered their growth or their scale a bit, their opportunity to scale.
Yeah, and what you're looking at, I suppose, with the Innovation Boost and Fusion as it was originally, you're looking at a 2-year program, but effectively you're seeing the benefits of that really over a 10-year period of time. And what you're seeing, I suppose, is a foot in the door, really, with, you know, heavy-duty technical development that takes place over that duration of time. I suppose the reason we find it really interesting with LockTech, I mean, LockTech are a very advanced IT company. And I suppose we've talked a lot, Ronan, about digitalization within companies. What we're seeing now is there's stages of digitalization. And I'd say really LockTech are probably on the third stage of that. You know, so the first stage is probably the visualization of the systems that's going on, detailed analysis, automation of workflows. And what you're really getting onto with LockTech, and when you say about the two lads, obviously, they hadn't left the team. I mean, one of them, they were off on honeymoon, I think. So, you know, they're still there, but for that duration of time and managing it. But you're looking at the automation and introduction of machine learning in the processes as well. So there's a huge amount that can be achieved in a relatively short amount of time, I suppose. What I've said previously is if companies don't embrace this, probably the opposite is the case. But you've got the potential to be left behind very, very quickly, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, with the companies we've worked with over a period of 18 months to 2 years, you're seeing stages of digital transformation. And then that just escalates as you go along. And Loctech are just an absolute prime example of that.
Yeah, and given this started, Sean, 2 years ago, we all kind of know what was happening in the world for the years before that as well. Was that another thing that maybe, had you not looked at doing this, you know, with the way, like your workforce, their demand, like working from home, working from the office, did that bring a lot of upheaval? And indeed, did this, things like this help you to manage and mitigate that as an organisation?
In a strange way, it was a massive opportunity for us, and we were incredibly well prepared, but not by design. It was the busiest period of time that we've in the business. We overnight were able to go home. As usual, there was a period of time where we did nothing but sleep and work, and the business grew by maybe 30% during that period of time. So the pressure with the amount of data, with the amount of administration, etc., we're doing went up. So digitizing those systems and introducing automation has enabled us to grow. And like, we're going to double the size of our premises now. We're going to take on another 15 people. We just employed two new guys last week. So it's like it's given my business a new lifeblood.
And undoubtedly, that whole industry of cybersecurity too is one that is probably primed for major growth as well. I'm not just meaning your own company. I think, you know, and as mentioned, how any company that's not aware of the need to have a digitalization strategy, which many people would argue should be your organizational strategy, but if you're not aware of the risks that are out there from a cyber perspective, it's another big hammer blow that could be coming your way.
Well, if you've got an IT strategy or a digitization strategy and you're not including a cybersecurity strategy to run in tandem, you probably don't have a business in the long term.
And from yourselves, Enda, from a point of view of the university, Net Loan too, is engaging with companies like Loctech through things like Innovation Boost as well, it probably helps in terms of setting the type of courses and indeed the very graduates that you're trying to produce.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely, Ronan. I mean, Sean and his team are actually critically involved with some of the courses that we've developed. So we have an MSc in Software Design with Cybersecurity that the guys directly contributed towards. We have a postgraduate diploma and Masters in Digitalization, and we're also rescoping our CEO offerings. And I suppose what I'd say to any potential Leaving Cert students is digitalization is going to become massive in the coming years. We've seen about 60% of our projects are in digitalization projects, and you can understand that. You really can, and the need for it. I think you've got some more stories that you're going to tell the students tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got a few horror stories. Yeah.
Hopefully they're all about cybersecurity and software and data and stuff as well. But again, apologies, I can't get Niall there. We're having a little bit of a technical issue with a phone line. But if you check out the Intertrade website as well, the Innovation Boost, as Enda said, it's a well-established programme. And here's yet another example of collaboration between, be it Midlands companies and a university somewhere else in the country, or else vice versa, as is happening now with TUS and with Loctech. But for now, Sean McDermott from Loctech, thank you so much for coming over this evening. And Dr. Enda Fallon, Head of the Department of Computer and Software Engineering at TUS, thank you so much, and a great programme, and undoubtedly more to come on that as well. Thank you both so much for coming over. As I say, check out the Intertrade Ireland websites. If you want to find out more about Sean's company, loctech.com, loughtec.com. Time for a quick break. After that, you're going to find out exactly what's taking place for the rest of the week. It is National Enterprise Week, and Katrina Duffy from Westmead Leo will be here to tell you what you can partake of between now and the end of the week. And actually, if you go back to the start of the show when Richard Marles played a huge tribute to the work that Westmead Leo in particular do in helping him develop his company Parklife, the one that took him all the way to Dragon's Den and he turned them down. Some man for one man.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
All this week, the local enterprise offices right across the country are celebrating Local Enterprise Week. Lots of events already after taking place yesterday, earlier today. Lots more coming up between now and the end of the week too. To find out more about what's happening in Westmeath, I'm delighted to be joined by Katrina Duffy from Local Enterprise Office Westmeath. A very good evening, Katrina.
Good evening, Ronan.
A very busy week on all your schedules as well. Tell us, give us an overview of what's taking place between now and the end of the week.
Yeah, busy but exciting. Today we had our Student Enterprise Awards County Finals at Loan Shopping Centre, where we may have seen some of our budding entrepreneurs of the future. So that's exciting to see them grow. Our finalist, our winner, was actually from St. Finian's College in Mullingar. So we'll be watching those for our national finals on the 9th of May, hatch it out. Then throughout the rest of the week, we have our County Enterprise Awards tomorrow in Athlone, and some of these people would have started off the Student Enterprise Awards. So it's interesting to see the journey winners will be announced there tomorrow evening. I don't want to be giving anything away in advance. We have lots of other exciting programmes, like ranging from how to set up a limited company, social media reviews, and a big one coming up on Friday, and it follows on from your last speakers, is the Digital Innovation Lunchtime Webinar and 10 Practical Steps. And it's very much is about the small steps that businesses can take to make a big impact, and then the ways that Leo Westmeath can actually, and Leo's all over the country, can actually help businesses get on their digital journey. And it covers anything from, starts off from your holistic overview of the digital landscape, tailored solutions for micros, and takes in things like the cybersecurity, why it's important, an overview of accessible digital tools, because no matter the size of an enterprise, if they set up right, it's easy to scale. But if they're not set up right at the outset, any hitches can seriously impact. And sometimes with less staff, it impacts you more, because you don't have the 50 employees with one or two that you won't notice as much. So lots going on. And what I would say, some of our programs are already booked out, but if anyone is interested in any of them, do contact us, because we do keep a running list of what our clients are interested in, and it would give us a little nudge to, this is one we need to hold again, and maybe sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's really encouraging from an enterprise point of view in the Midlands that so many of the programmes are booked up as well. And I see even today, like, you cover things like, you know, IP strategies and stuff like that, and there's marketing clinics and Instagram for Business, and you can probably understand why people are trying to get on those quickly. For that event, it's taking place on Friday. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Mullingar Park Hotel. Do people need to register for that?
They do need to register for that. We're currently working on a waiting list, but that's okay. Contact us, and if we can get you in at all, we will. It's another interesting day where we have speakers lined up and interesting networking events going on throughout the day. So lots of opportunities for our businesswomen to engage with each other. And, you know, the theme of the day is Inspire Inclusion, and it is all about getting businesses interacting with each other. And I find that these events, this is where people make connections. And it's heartwarming to see that in follow-up events, you know, you see these women coming together who never knew each other beforehand, and they meet outside of these events and share ideas and learn, grow from each other, which is also very good.
And that's exactly what both Enda Fallon and Sean McDermott were just saying before the break as well. We talked about that, the importance of collaboration, and as indeed as reflected by Dr. Anne Cusack on the show last week as well. It must be a very proud moment for Westmeath Enterprise Office to see somebody like Richard Marles with Parklife appearing on Dragon's Den last week.
It was great. It's always like Dragon's Den is great anyway, but it's always great to see somebody that you know when it's come through the local enterprise system. It's inspiring for other business people in the Midlands as well to say, okay, yeah, this is where we can go with a bit of drive and support. And I think sometimes people don't realise what the local enterprise offices do. What I would say, if you're in business and you don't know what we do, give us a ring, send us an email, and if we can help you any way at all, we can. If we can't help you ourselves, we'll signpost you to where you will be able to get help, you know, because we do interact with InterTrade and all these other organisations to get our businesses the best support that is out there for them. So it's not just, Leo's aren't one of these things where it's like, oh, you're our client and we can't let anyone else near you because they might steal you. It's not like that. It is, the more we watch a client grow, the better it is for everyone.
Yeah, and the Leos across the Midlands have provided like huge scaffolding for so many great organisations as well. And I think the real testament is any of those companies, they always refer back to the support they got as well. So look, it's great work by all of you. Katrina, thank you so much for that, and all the best with the rest of the week.
No problem. Thank you very much, Ronan.
Thank you. And similar events taking place with Laois, with Offaly. It's localenterprise.ie/ put in the county you're involved in. Lots of events there to get your head around, sink your teeth into, and see if you've got a business idea, if you want to expand your business. Because bear in mind, as Katrina says, actually the enterprise office brief is much wider than it was even a year ago. So there really is support there for nearly anybody around. So definitely worth checking out. It's kind of a unique week on the calendar, and lots of great stuff come from it. And that is bringing me to pretty much a close for this evening's edition of Taking Care of Business. Thank you to all the contributors as well. It's been jam-packed, it's been fast-paced, but we got there in the end. And it's so great again to hear about the fantastic initiatives and endeavours taking place right across the Midlands. I'll be back with you next Tuesday evening. Some really exciting stuff lined up. You're going to meet next week a Cupra Master. Says you, what's that? Well, you got to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to find out. Time for me to go though. Joe Cooney will be here with Country Roads after news at 8. Stay safe and talk to you all soon.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business. Midlands 103.